Cape Talk.
The European Report with Katie MacDonald.
Yep, it's the European Report with Katie MacDonald all the way from Budapest, Hungary. Katie, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm pretty well, Abs. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm joyful. Joyful, what can I say? Joyful and happy to just be doing what I love doing. Katie, let's talk about Russia once again. Why is there always mystery surrounding this country?
I know. And it is always a bit mysterious, especially, for those of us, for example, from a country, like South Africa, where, there's a lot of things that go on, but, there's a fair amount of transparency. These reports and, what we do here, it kind of writes like, as I keep saying, spy novels. But, look, it's interesting because, Abs, at the moment, there are many commentators, political commentators and people here that are saying that, Russian and West relationships are worse than at the height of the Cold War. So there are some interesting things going on. But this particular story concerns a journalist, a young journalist, Maxim Brodin. He's, well-known Russian journalist, only 32 years of age. And amongst other things, he'd recently been reporting on clandestine Russian paramilitary groups that have been operating in Syria. The main target of his reporting, so to speak, was a Russian private military company called Wagner. So, he was known not just for uncovering government, reports on government and such things, but also local criminal underworld situation. So he was an investigative reporter, quite full on and well known. And essentially he was found underneath his apartment. He'd fallen from his balcony, a five-story balcony. That was on Thursday. And he was admitted to hospital where he subsequently died on Sunday. He was in a coma. He didn't wake from that. Now, the police are not treating this as suspicious, but his friends and colleagues, they're concerned. He phoned one particular friend early on the day before saying that there was a man with a gun on his balcony. And there were several other masked people in his apartment stairwell. And then he called back an hour later and said, I was just mistaken. It was some kind of an exercise. But the police have said that there's nothing suspicious to look at. There are no signs of a struggle. And there's a suggestion that he simply went out for a cigarette and fell.
Wow, they even know what he went out to do. I wonder, were they there? Huh? Lovely.
Good thought.
It's like, he went out for a cigarette. Oh, how do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe he went out with his cup of coffee. Okay, you would see the cup of coffee. Okay, fair enough.
Watch this space. Yeah, there'll certainly be more happening on that.
All right, and let's talk about something that's closer to home to you. People are protesting the Hungarian election result.
Yeah, exactly. The Hungarian election, roughly a week ago, and that saw, Fidesz come into power for its fourth term, third term, in a row, and they won 12 out of 18 seats in Budapest districts, 85 out of 88 seats outside the capital. A very, very strong, majority. But there have been protests. So essentially there were tens of thousands. One BBC journalist reported that, there could have been around 100,000 people who gathered outside the Opera House here in central Budapest to protest against what they see as an unfair electoral system that gave the Prime Minister a landslide victory, based on, amongst other things, this huge hate campaign that he waged against immigrants and such. So, it's a complex electoral system because the party ended up with a two-thirds majority, but they only won around 50% of the vote. That's something I'm struggling to work out. in my head. But yeah, it's, as I say, it's a complex electoral system. So people are saying, no, you know, it's not the will of the majority. We want new elections. We want to live in a country where there are checks and balances. We want a real democracy. And they took to the streets on a Saturday. And they say, or there are calls basically for yet another march this coming Saturday. You know, they want a recount of all ballots, new election laws. They'd like what they refer to as a non-partisan public media, which is interesting. So there'll be another protest. How much change it's going to bring? I don't know. But there's certainly, there's a lot of upset. Well, more than upset, I'd say anger, abs amongst many people here after the results of the election.
Just talking quickly about that, Katie. I mean, we've seen images before of people, of countries protesting, but more specific now to Hungarians. Are they more susceptible to do the whole street violence thing, or is there a history of where there's actual negotiations that take place?
Well, this is what's interesting, and it's funny because it's from, you know, the non-Hungarians have commented on the way they protest. The protests are actually very calm, Abs. They're usually, you know, there's quite a good feeling, if I could say so, almost more of a party atmosphere, a huge amount of emotion. I mean, one thing you can really feel is the emotion. It's palpable. A huge amount of patriotism. They say that they're quite intellectual in the way that they protest. And, there are some that feel that they're almost too accepting in the way that they do protest. But it's not very confrontational, or, you know, to date it hasn't been, not that I've seen. And just this desire to see change. But they're not as proactive as we might see protest action.
I hear you. Let's talk about though a 94-year-old that's facing prosecution in Germany.
So yet another case. I mean, so on Monday or yesterday, this 94-year-old former guard from Auschwitz was prosecuted or had charges laid against him by German prosecutors. And it's quite interesting because, you know, they couldn't actually do this until 2011. There was a 2011 landmark court ruling that allowed prosecutors to lay charges of accessory to murder. So you didn't actually have to be seen to have personally committed atrocities, you know, during the war. This is with regards to Nazi war criminals. You could just have been an accessory or, you know, somehow around. So there have been a couple of people prosecuted because of that in recent times, and they've now filed charges against this 94-year-old. He was 19 years old when he began training as a guard at Auschwitz, you know, the death camp in German-occupied Poland. And he worked there from December 1942 until January 1943. And basically, they're just charging him with, as I said, accessory to, you know, deaths that took place then. He says that he wasn't aware of the background, the intent, or, you know, what was happening, you know, these killings and such. But if the case goes to trial, what's also interesting is he's going to be tried before a juvenile court because he was a teenager at the time of his alleged crimes. But, 94 years of age, Abs, so they're not letting these, you know, crimes from many, many years ago go unpunished, so to speak.
That's good, I suppose. At the end of the day, you must know that you have to account for every choice that you make. There's going to be consequences, and you have to account for those consequences. It doesn't matter how long it takes. I wonder if there's many criminals listening to us speaking now in South Africa. Well, if there is, Katie, let's say to them again, listen, if you're a criminal and you're listening on the show this morning, remember, Doesn't matter how long it takes. Every dog has his day. Katie, thank you so much. A very good morning to you.
Always a pleasure. And to you too, Abs.
Thank you so much. And to you listening at home.